So this talk is about a tool I'm releasing called Veil Pillage. And it's really always, it's the tool that I've always wanted on internal pen tests. The code is actually live. I'll go over the link at the end. I pushed it last night. So real quick, a little bit about me. I'm a security researcher and pen tester slash red teamer for a company called Veris Group. We're out of Northern Virginia. And I work for a subgroup in there called the Adaptive Threat Division. I'm a co-founder of the Veil framework. Our hashtag is AVLOL because we think antivirus is funny. Our main site is veilframework.com. We kind of premiered our tool this year at ShmooCon 2014 under a talk called AV Evasion with the Veil framework. And the other guy that works with the tool on me is sitting in the front row. That's Chris Trunzer. Hi, Chris. Thanks. So Chris and I co-wrote Veil Evasion. I wrote Veil Catapult, which I'll go over in a little bit. I wrote a PowerShell post-exploitation situational awareness tool called Veil PowerView. And I'll talk about a couple of the functions that are applicable here. And I wrote a Windows privilege escalation automator in PowerShell called PowerUp. I'm an active Cortana, PowerShell, and Nova hacker. Kind of the overview of what I'm going to go through today. I'm going to give some background on the Veil framework, kind of its genesis, how we got there, you know, our thought process and the development of the various components. I'm going to go over a few quick slides just on post-exploitation. You know, kind of let everyone know this is the exact realm of the assessment cycle that we're operating in. I'm going to go over Veil Pillage and go over some of its feature sets and a few of the more interesting kind of current modules. There's 59 released, so I'm not going to sit here and go through every single one, don't worry. I will then kind of come back and talk specifically about some of the functionality that deals with hash dumping and plaintext CRUD gathering. I have a few demos, I got some videos, so I don't have to pray to the demo gods so nothing will break. I'll wrap up talking a little bit about the KB2871997, the Microsoft pass the hash patch, so we'll see if that actually stops that much. I'll finish with going over a few of the kind of upcoming module releases and how you can develop your own kind of functionality for this framework. Then I'll recap a little bit. So the Veil framework. Is anyone willing to raise their hand who might be actually using the Veil framework or Veil Evasion? Anybody? That's awesome. So our kind of branding for the tool set is we want to bridge the gap between pen testing and red teaming capabilities. So it started with the release of Veil Evasion. Veil, originally titled Veil, later renamed Veil Evasion. We released a few more tools since then that I mentioned. So the original motivation for this first part was our backdoors were being caught by AV, you know, the stock Metasploit templates. AV started to catch up. So we built a modular framework that generated AV evading executables as the kind of flagship part of Veil Evasion. So we have a variety of shellcode injectors and kind of higher level pure interpreter stagers with that same logic translated into a higher level language like PowerShell or Python. And again, we debuted at ShmooCon 2014 with AV Evasion with the Veil framework. There's our site again. So kind of how Pillage came about. After dealing with AV Evasion, our focus started to move towards payload delivery. You know, now that we have our backdoor, how do we get it on our target machines in an internal engagement and trigger them? So also released at ShmooCon was a small tool called Veil Catapult, which tied in with Veil Evasion and can upload and trigger executables or throw up a little temporary SMB server and do a UNC path back. And I'll go into some more detail with that. And add a few other common tricks like everyone's favorite sticky keys backdoor and RDP stuff and all that. The thing with that was, you know, it was kind of screaming for a more generalized post-exploitation structure. So that's kind of how Pillage came about. You know, the attack cycle is my nifty little graphic. You have your basic recon, enumeration, exploitation. Pillage doesn't deal with exploitation or enumeration, specifically in the initial part of the assessment. We're entirely operating in the post-exploitation component. I'm not going to go through all these, but this is, you know, the slides are actually online under our SlideShare Veil framework. But you know, this is a more granular way of breaking down a lot of these post-exploitation actions. The big point here is we want to demonstrate impact. If we have a relatively short engagement, we don't want to waste time, you know, scripting stuff up all the time or, you know, re-rolling back doors and that type of stuff. So we want to maximize the time we can actually demonstrate impact to a client. So all that post-exploitation stuff in plain English, this is one way to interpret it. If you have access or credentials to one or more machines on a network, what can you do? If you can execute a command on a box, what kind of nastiness can you can entail? Kind of a quintessential example, say you have a local administrator hash for several remote hosts on a network, and you want to grab plain text of all the users logged onto those hosts. How would you go about doing that with current tool sets? One option is just using Metasploit. PSSEC to the box, get a session, install an agent. The advantages of this are it's very flexible and very powerful. You can utilize the entire Metasploit framework and run, you know, all those awesome extensions, all those awesome post modules. Some of the drawbacks, though, are a service running a system is created, so that kind of, you know, can create some noise or logs on disk. And there's a lot of non-standard traffic when you're actually staging an interpreter. So, you know, if they have kind of more, if a client has more in-depth network filtering or detection, you know, that might get you caught. And also a known malicious binary is dropped to disk, you know, those kind of stock templates. You can throw in a custom thing, but you're still touching disk. Another option is to use the tool SMBExec to upload and execute a WCE binary. And it grabs little result files after. The advantages are you don't need to establish a full interpreter session, and it doesn't rely on the Metasploit binary templates. But a system level service is still created, and a known malicious binary is dropped to disk. You know, I know they did a good job at obfuscating it, but if you have a static binary that's touching disk, you know, it's not. It's pretty easy for AV to write a static signature for it. Another option is using the Patch in the Hash toolkit in PowerSploit. It's an awesome project. The advantages are if you use WIMS, no service is created, so it's quieter. Also, no binaries are dropped to disk if you're operating purely in PowerShell. Drawbacks, though, it's an incredibly powerful tool set, but the usage isn't always the simplest. If people have played with it, there's a little bit of a barrier to entry, and I feel that, you know, there's got to be a way that we can weaponize this a little easier on an internal test at least to kind of bring that barrier to entry down. And what if you want to run this on lots of hosts? What if PowerShell is disabled or is not installed? And the kind of the key here is all these options, you know, they might work in certain situations, but often not in every situation. So kind of what I envisioned we wanted out of a kind of an ideal tool is you want a lot of trigger options, as many as you can have. We use WinEXE, the equivalent of PSExec, WIMS, SMBExec from MPacket. We also want really good modularity to where you want it as easy as possible to implement additional post-exploitation actions. We want other tools to be able to integrate with ours. So you can write a module, drop it in, you know, also script stuff up. You want this to be as flexible as possible. And also completeness. You know, it'd be nice if there's full automation, comprehensive logging, and a big thing for us is cleanup. You know, we want to know every single host that we touched and what we did, and we want a way to repair that very easily, clean our agents off. I'll go over the cleanup stuff and demo it later. So my tool, Veil Pillage, is kind of the next iteration of Catapult. It was, you know, Catapult was kind of the genesis of it. The primitives that it's built on are using the Patch in the Hash toolkit that I mentioned. I use PTH WIMS, which doesn't create a service, a little stealthier. PTH WinEXE, so that kind of the, you know, equivalent of PSExec. It runs a system and a binary is dropped. It's not really a malicious binary, but, you know, something touches disk, but it can run a system. So that might work in some situations for you. So you also use the SMBExec from MPacket that I mentioned. No binaries dropped, but a service is created. And the other backend is mostly MPacket, using SMB servers, clients, and all that type of stuff. Everything is abstracted out to library, common library methods. So when you're developing your modules, you don't have to say, what's the syntax for this and that? You know, you can just drop stuff in and use a common library. So I'm going to be kind of building this little diagram up showing you all the components of Veil Pillage. So like right here, you see at the bottom, like these are the primitives that the entire framework is built on. So Veil Catapult, those are awesome little catapult with their Metasploit payload launching at the Security Essentials Castle. All the demo machines I recorded on had MSC updated and it still didn't catch anything a year later. So all of Catapult's functionality has been modularly integrated into Veil Pillage. These are the modules that kind of encompass all that previous functionality. EXE delivery, PowerShell injection, the Python injector I'll talk about in a few slides, a nifty little thing. And everyone's favorite sticky keys backdoor. So Catapult will now be obsoleted. We're going to leave it in the tree, but recommend everyone use Pillage because it's a lot more flexible. We'll have a blog post up soon on transitioning and kind of the difference between the two tools. And so yeah, like I think Catapult's cool, but Pillage is a little cooler. For EXE delivery, which is kind of the core original function for Catapult, executables can be specified, like if you have your custom rollback door. Or you can take advantage of seamless integration into the Vail Evasion code base. So I'll show in the demo, if you specify Vail as the payload type, it'll drop into the exact same interface that you would have for Vail Evasion. You can roll up all the options you want, it packages it up, and drops you right back into the Vail Pillage interface. So as seamless as I can make it. EXEs are then uploaded and triggered to a box, or they're hosted with an SMB server and triggered with a like a UNC path back. What's this?
Where's your stuff?
Oh, sorry.
What's this?
So,
You explain this.
I help create the Vail framework, and there's actually a Vail vodka that we found, so that's going to be my shot.
No, keep talking.
Okay, keep talking. All right. So, the UNC invocation. You stand up and kind of host the file temporarily on a SMB server that's set up and then tore down transparently. And when you trigger it, that EXE is loaded straight into memory on a host. And the nice effect of this is that this gets some otherwise disdetectable EXEs right by antivirus. If you want to see a demo of this, it's check out our ShmooCon presentation. I think the slides and everything are online. The Python injector I mentioned. So this will take a kind of stripped down Python environment into zip. It'll upload it to the host.
Now we're ready.
Okay.
First time speaker at DEF CON, how about a little love? We got the Vail vodka for the Vail tool.
Thank you.
You're the first speaker to provide your own shot. I appreciate that. By the way, that bottle is big enough for everybody in the audience, so.
If anyone wants a shot after, come talk to me. I'm not going to drink all that. So the Python injector. It'll upload the Python zip in a 7-zip binary to the host. And it'll unzip the entire thing to disk and into a temporary file. And then it uses a -c option with python.exe to run a little one-liner that injects shellcode straight into memory. So this is basically an analog, or it's very similar to PowerShell injection that a lot of people are familiar with. So what's nice about this is the only files that touch disk are the trusted Python libraries and the trusted known Python interpreter. So this can help you get by certain types of reputation filters that say, I haven't seen this EXE before. I don't know if it's bad, but I'm going to provide additional protections on it because it's unknown. And this also, when you want to generate shellcode, it'll drop right into the Vail Evasion framework too. So it's just like one little line. You don't have to do any of the heavy lifting. This is, you see here, all kind of that Vail Catapult functionality that's been built in as we're going up. So the fun stuff, new modules. Enumeration. So, if you scan your network with, Medusa or NCRAC or something like that, and you see, okay, I think these credentials work at different places on an internal test, this host credential validation will actually verify, can you PS exec to a box? It connects in, tries to create a little temporary folder and immediately delete it. So there's a bit more accurate, but it's a bit slower. So scan and then use this. User hunting is a very common activity that any pen testers, I'm sure, do. If you have credentials that work on lots of machines, you want to find, okay, where are high value users logged in on the network. So you can use this, it'll run through after you know boxes it works on. You validate, run this, and it'll pop saying, domain admins are here, 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 and here. And you can pop their boxes and do some more fun stuff. Or if you just want to do some kind of basic host enumeration actions, get the ARP table, get all the network interfaces, that type of stuff. Management. Occasionally, if you're on an internal test, you might want to do things like an enable, disable, UAC, or RDP. And I'll actually show this in the demo. If you have network level access to a machine, RDP itself might not be enabled. Maybe you want to set up your sticky keys backdoor or something like that. So occasionally, there's certain management actions you need. Also, you might, in certain situations, need to force users to log off, reboot the machine, shut it down, all that kind of stuff to trigger certain post-exploitation actions. And this is fun. Persistent stuff, everyone's favorite kind of a little fun activity. We can throw up the Bitsimin backdoor really easily to schedule a download job for an EXE. And again, I keep talking about sticky keys. It sets the debugger for sethc.exe, which is the sticky keys binary. It sets the debugger for that to be cmd.exe. So you can RDP in, hit shift 5 times, and a little box running the system pops up before you even log in. A little bit of a lesser known one, UNC DLL hijacking. If you append a UNC path to your path environment variable on a machine, and that machine reboots, system service or services and some programs and stuff, when they start up, will actually look to that UNC path where DLL is to load. So I actually have a little tool in here, it's under just /tools, that you can run it up, it'll script Wireshark and actually pull out all those hijackable opportunities. And there's an SMB host, you host up a malicious DLL from interpreter, and then you have your persistence. PowerSploit. I love this tool set, but like I said, the barrier to entry can be a little bit difficult for weaponization. So my solution to this for pillage is I'll stand up a temporary web server on your attacker box, and I trigger everyone's favorite little download cradle, the download string. It'll trigger that, reach back to your attacker box, download the entire script, run in memory, nothing touching disk, and output files output, and then I run in, grab it, and clean everything up. So this makes it really easy to run PowerSploit across a large number of machines when you're on engagement. There's also cleanup where you can kill off all the processes and stuff. So now this is really kind of the meat of the tool, all the modules, you know, the PowerSploit stuff, and all the enumeration stuff and those types of things. So here I'm going to go over a few of the new features that I integrated in. So last month, the Veil team, we released some custom written, like higher level PowerShell stagers for Meterpreter, reverse TCP, HTTP, HTTPS. These don't utilize any shell code, and they work great with the passing the hash toolkit. You don't have to invoke up the MSFN part. You know, that shell code, you know, can't be decoded from a file or something like that because it's not being run. There's also x86 and 64-bit compatibility by default. You run this stuff, it'll detect what architecture am I on, and then choose the correct string to inject, or it'll choose the correct PowerShell binary to use for the injection. Output and cleanup, like I said, we're pen testers. We really like to have everything logged. We want to know exactly what happened. You know, if something goes wrong or a client wants to know how we got into somewhere, we want to know these credentials were used on this box for this action. So Pillage has a universal activity log. Everything's logged. It also breaks it out by module. So every module and host and everything is broken down, is time stamped. And also clients are pretty picky. They don't like malware, you know, they don't like you leaving malware around their networks. You know, they don't like sticky keys backdoor on, you know, 100 machines. So every single action that Veil Pillage can execute has a reciprocal cleanup action and it's output to a script. So there's a universal cleanup file and cleanup file per module. You can just type cleanup, give it the file, or cleanup, and it'll pull the universal file, and it'll just clean everything up and kill your sessions, remove any files and all that stuff. And I'll show that in the demo. Random features, state preservation, if something crashes, or you rage quit with control C, all the options are preserved. The current module that you're operating under is jumped right back to. All your targets and credential sets, configuration options, it's all preserved. When you start it up, it'll prompt you, do you want to restore this initial state? You can also save those off, you know, name them and restore up credential sets. There's also Metasploit backend database interaction. Right now, it can pull in any credential sets or targets from the Metasploit backend, and you can add those to your target sets. So a common thing we'll do is run the SMB login, get all the creds. We don't want to type the hashes every time, so we can just pull this in. And every single thing that can be tab completable is tab completable because I've had to type through this stuff so many times. There's reasonably robust error checking. There's complete command line options, which I'll go over here in a little bit, and just a really big UI focus. Pillage contains complete command line flags for every single option that you can set in the framework. And a big reason I put this in is because I script up other tools, but you know, beneath mine a lot of the time. So I want people to be able to integrate all this functionality straight into their own tool sets. So Veil Pillage SH, I know this is really small, but this is every single option that you can set it. Targets, you know, cleanup stuff, state restores, Veil evasion options, all those types of things. So that's kind of the last part of Veil Pillage. You know, we have our features, you know, kind of the icing on top. We have the modules, the core part of it, you know, all that catapult functionality, the primitives and all that good stuff. I'm going to back up just real quick to some of the interesting core modules for hash dumping and plain text grabbing. With hash dumping, there are a diverse number of ways to dump hashes on a system. A lot of the traditional ways involve dropping a binary, like gsec dump, cred dump, those types of things. Deal with that is, you know, AV has started to flag or write signatures to these static tools, so we don't always like to drop stuff to disk. You can do registry backups with reg.exe, pull those files down, or you can get an interpreter session, do it a little bit more manually, do hash dump, wdigest, and all that good stuff. Some of the new hotness, Dave Kinney's power dump script, you can hash dump purely in PowerShell using WCE and Mimikatz binaries. And also, the PowerSploit project has Mimikatz integrated completely in PowerShell, which I'll go over in a few slides. The thing, like I mentioned with hash dumping, is different actions work in different situations. So if you want a universal solution, you need to expose all those options, but you know, maybe you can automate some logic in. Depending on architecture, PowerShell installation, AV installation, all those types of things, they can affect what you might do. And some of these, like I mentioned, involve dropping a well-known closed source tool to disk. This can sometimes be needed. You always want to have options and fallbacks, but we like staying off of disk as much as possible. In-memory Mimikatz. This is the I saw your credentials, Mimikatz stickers. Benjamin Delpy is actually right here. So thank you for Mimikatz. So this is awesome. Mimikatz in PowerShell is incredibly powerful. The PowerSploit exfiltration invoke Mimikatz PowerShell file. It utilizes Jobielic's prior work with reflective PE injection to inject an architecture appropriate Mimikatz DLL into the system. This is just awesome because you can harness the power of Mimikatz without having to touch disk. You can dump creds, you can do your golden tickets, you can do all that fun stuff. So for Pillage, like I said, all these options are exposed as modules in case the user wants to force this for particular decisions. But there's also a module called AutoGrab, which tries to build a little bit of this logic in. So it'll check, is PowerShell working? Not even just if it's installed, it'll actually check, can you run PowerShell commands? If you can, I have a combination of PowerDump and PowerSploit. It's triggered with that web little downloader. If it's not, it runs a command to try to determine the architecture and then hosts either the x86 or 64-bit binaries with that SMB server and does the UNC path back. Then it collects all these credentials into a unique list and has all the raw output as well. All right, demos. I'm not tempting the demo god, so I have videos. Sorry. So this is starting up Vail Pillage. I'm going to show a little bit of the interface. This first one's going to be a little longer. We have our version up there. Right now, we're 1.0.0. We have our site. We have the number of modules released or loaded. Initially, it's 59. I'll go over some of the release schedule soon. List is the command to list either your modules, targets, or credentials. Set, you can set either a single target, comma separated, space separated. You can also specify a target file. So if you have like a giant list of targets from a tool output, you see all the targets being set. I'll show resetting the targets if you want to just clear it all out. And this is the Metasploit backend stuff. So DB list targets will automatically query the Metasploit database. This doesn't do a live link to the database. It just does a query, and then I can add, pull in that static set that I'm choosing, comma separated, 2 and 5, and it'll set that in the internal state in Pillage. All right. I think I typed list targets enough. So then, I think I'm going to show how you use the database interaction to actually set the credential sets. See, this is output from a successful SMB login post module or enumeration module. So DB add creds, it can be comma separated. It'll set all those creds up, administrator and a hash. So now, if you just type list or list modules, it'll list up everything. See all the PowerSploit, persistence, payload delivery, in packet stuff, enumeration. This is that kind of the module that has a little bit of the logic built in called AutoGrab. Here are all the options available for this module. Oh, sorry. The other way you can actually invoke it is you can either say like use in the number, or you can use and tab complete, and it'll tab complete out the entire tree. So I'm setting an option for the reach back. You can set, you know, SSL for HTTPS or something like that if you wanted. Now I'm showing the control C, so I just rage quit out of the entire thing. It'll prompt if the state wants to be restored. Or right back into AutoGrab, all the options are still set, all the targets are still set, all the creds are still set. Cool. I'm going to run it. It's going to prompt me to confirm. On that background, it detected PowerShell was installed on the first host. Sets up that HTTP server. You see the GET actually coming back from that host. Again, you don't have to configure the server or anything. It stands it all up transparently in the background, making it as easy as possible for the user. Kills it off, gives it a few seconds because, you know, when you're playing around with LSAS, it might take just a little bit. Moves on to the next host, sees PowerShell is installed again. So you're going to set up that same server, reach back, you know, with a different little randomized script name. We'll see the output here in a second. So all these modules will have an output file. You can also display that output out immediately when you hit yes. See all the unique hashes, all the unique Mimikatz output, you know, uniqueified in a nice list. The raw output is going to be under that AutoGrab results creds. It'll show you like the raw output file that's separated per host and it's timestamped. Yep, I'll go with that now. So there's that one in the host. You see it's autograb.txt. All this stuff for Veil is output by default to Veil output. You know, there's an evasion and catapult thing. For Veil Pillage, there's that global activity log that I showed. If you do a lot of actions, it'll start building up. If you go into the module folder, it'll be split out with that initial output file that's timestamped that we saw. And also it'll show the raw output split up by host. So there's all the nice raw Mimikatz output. Now, let's show some PowerSploit. I think I have I'll show the list targets again. And we're going to upload these demos to the Veil Framework YouTube. We'll tweet out a link or something about it. So use PowerSploit. Here are all the nice PowerSploit modules. You can tab complete. I'm going to use invoke shellcode MSIL, which is use some neat little .NET reflection to execute shellcode. I still have all my L hosts and stuff set. And one thing here is this in the spawn handler, if you set it to true, it'll auto spawn you a meterpreter handler or Mesploit handler in the background. You see here, we're dropping straight into Veil evasion for shellcode generation. You know, you didn't have to launch it up, you're not having to script up stuff and paste it in. If you're more interested in the evasion functionality, check out the ShmooCon talk or talk to me after. So I'm setting all the options for Windows Meterpreter versus TCP. It's just scripting up MSFVenom in the background. Auto launches our handler with all the options already pre-configured. Make sure it runs. I'm going to hit this, the same kind of thing, just like with the AutoGrab. It's setting up the HTTP server. The host is reaching back. It's grabbing that PowerShell snippet, running it in memory, piping the output to an output file that then it goes in and grabs. So they're all meterpreter sessions, proving I'm not a liar. Actually, it's meterpreter. Now, if there's a cleanup file, are there cleanup actions associated with the module, or showing the output first, showing exactly what was triggered where? We're going to invoke the global cleanup file. You could have specified the single cleanup file, which I'll do in the next demo. So this is going to run through. It's going to kill everything off. All your sessions are dead. So everything's back to how it was. Our last one, sticky keys. See all the persistence options, you know, adding users to local groups, adding domain users, you know, UNC stuff, sticky keys, current version run. So this particular one, I know people have used the sticky keys backdoor, setting the debugger to be cmd.exe. There's no reason that we can't upload our own binary and set that to be the debugger. So why don't we generate a stager and set that to be the sticky keys trigger? And this now is dropping straight into the full veil evasion menu. So we're going to use our Python interpreter versus TCP. This doesn't rely on shellcode. It's just kind of that logic from the shellcode translated into a higher level language. And with Python, it's going to package it all up into a Pine installer executable here. And this is all again in the background. You don't have to, I remember having to do this manually back in the day. It wasn't as much fun. So that's our output from Veil Evasion. We press enter and we're dropped right back into Veil Pillage transparently. And this is going to be uploading this file, that payload file, naming it sysupdate.exe, and uploading it to C Windows. We have our output again, showing the exact binary, exactly where it was uploaded, using what credentials. And I'll say, OK, so even though we can reach that host, we can't actually RDP to it, because RDP is disabled. So I can use some of the management functionality to actually enable RDP, which is a few commands and registry stuff. It'll set the firewall rule and all those types of things. Cool. Our output again. The firewall exception, RDP enabled, all this type of stuff. Let's try RDPing again. So we're not even having to log in. We have our handler in the background. Press shift 5 times, and we get our interpreter session. So this is a little nicer because if you just leave the regular sticky keys up, anyone can connect in and trigger it. With this, you can at least control the IP it's connecting back to stage. So I'm going to go through cleanup manually. I'm going to go through both parts. I'm first going to disable the sticky keys debugger. I could just do the universal cleanup and it'll repair, but I want to show you the two steps. So I can do cleanup, specify the cleanup file. You can also, I could have passed this, you know, command line. It says it cleaned it up. Shift 5 times and sticky keys is back. That binary is cleaned off. No artifact left on the machine. Take the second cleanup file to re-disable RDP. So the box is exactly how it was when we first touched it. So can't RDP anymore. So again, you know, this isn't rocket science, but it really simplifies being able to weaponize a lot of these techniques. All right, let's talk about KB2871997, the oh my god, as pen testers all out of a job patch. I read the KB spec. I had a minor freak out. My boss called me down and told me to look into it. It's not that bad. So it's the pass the hash patch, AKA the Mimikatz KB. And that's actually a link to Ben's tweet saying, I shall deem this the Mimikatz KB. It's a Microsoft backport of a lot of Windows 8.1 security protections. It does some stuff that kind of makes it a little more difficult to pour creds out of LSAS. But the thing we care about in this context is it contains this line that says this patch prevents network logon and remote interactive logon to domain join machines using local accounts. The reason this sounds ominous is because that's how you always, almost always spread laterally, you know, on a pen test. You dump local admin hashes, you scan where they work, you pop all your boxes, you find your high value users. This is a screenshot of the Microsoft advisory. It is originally titled, Update to Fix Patch the Hash Vulnerability. Someone yelled at them and a few hours later, it's now Update to Improve Credential Protection and Management. Someone luckily caught this, yeah. So is this actually a patch for Patch the Hash? No. They, even though they claim that local accounts on a box in the local administrators group, you can no longer pass the hash with. As usual, the RID 500 account, which is the default built-in administrator, you can still pass the hash with it if it's enabled. Like Windows 7 by default now, when you set it up, it'll by default disable this. But we've seen that RID 500 is still enabled across a very, very large number of enterprises. The reason is for like backwards compatibility, you know, security management products or something like that. Also, domain accounts in the administrator's local group on a machine can still pass the hash. And again, if you have the plain text for these local administrator accounts, you can use PowerShell remoting or RDP. You need the plain text, you might be able to crack it or GPP or something like that. Obviously, Windows XP in 2003 are unaffected. Point here, it raises the bar, it definitely does, in properly configured environments, but pass the hash is not patched, and is not going away anytime soon. So one of the things I realized when looking into this is it'd be really nice to know what that RID 500 account is named on a remote machine, whether it's enabled, and what domain user accounts are in the local group for administrators. Luckily, using PowerShell, if you have a basic domain account, like the most basic, no privileges whatsoever, you can use this neat little thing called the WinNT service provider to pull all of this information. You can get the full SID for the admin account, whether it's enabled, disabled, and all the domain users in that local group. You can also use, if you have an account, again, this you can't use, you know, like null sessions or something. You need the account, but if you can also use the mmap scripts, SMB enum groups, and SMB enum users. All these PowerShell functions have been integrated really nicely into Avail PowerView, my other project. So there's one function, you can just grab them from a single host, and there's one that will query AD, get every single machine, and pipe out a really nice CSV that's sortable, telling you every single host, every single local admin, every single SID, and all that stuff. There's more information on my blog, harmjoy.net. A few last things. So module releases. With Veil Evasion, we have something called V-Day, which on the 15th of every month since last September, we've released at least one new payload module. So for Pillage, the plan is for at least a few months to try to release at least one new post-exploitation module on the 1st. This is going to be pushed to the GitHub, which I'll have at the end, and also check veilframework.com for updates. For module development, I want you to be able to implement whatever post-exploitation fun you can think of. All the triggering methods, the file downloads, the SMB and HTTP servers and everything are all available as library methods. You don't have to configure them, you don't have to remember syntax. There's a template, a module template included in the tree. We're going to have a blog post up in the next month or two on how to actually develop these if you're interested. If you do, please send a pull request. So a quick recap. Veil Pillage is a flexible framework for post-exploitation of target machines on an internal pen test. There's three separate ways of triggering with a preference on stealth with WIMS. New modules are really easy to implement with the common library. You can just drop them in the tree, you know, that enumeration folder or whatever split up, and it'll load it right up for you. There's a lot of automation. There's complete full logging capabilities. There's complete cleanup capabilities. There's a really big UI focus. And we're going to have active development for a while. This isn't just like some random script that I wrote a month ago and I'm dropping for DEF CON. It's 30,000 lines. There's 150 internal commits on Git. We've been testing this out for a while. I'm sure there'll be bugs. The code's up live. I'll have it at the end. If you guys use it, you know, if something messes up in setup or whatever, please report bugs. I want the tool to be as good as possible. So my real quick shameless sidebar, if you want to research cool stuff like this, work with a whole bunch of OSCEs and OSCPs, do some sweet red teaming and pen testing, you know, hit me up by email offline or talk to me later and come work for us at the Adaptive Threat Division. We have an awesome team. And that's it. Any questions, you know, hit me up on Twitter. I'm Harmjoy. It's a zero, not an O. Harmjoy at veilframework.com. I'm in Veil and Armitage on Freenode a lot. Our blog again, veilframework.com. Our personal blog, harmjoy.net. Stuff that doesn't relate directly to the Veil framework, I'll put up like a, I had a good complete write-up for the whole patch the hash stuff. There's a really complete article about it with screenshots and examples. That's on harmjoy.net. If you want the Veil framework, go to github.com/veil-framework. All the projects are split out. So Veil Pillage, the code was pushed last night. There's also a Veil super project, where if you do veil framework/veil, clone it down, run the setup, it'll install all the dependencies, it'll download all the necessary stuff for Kali, which is our only supported platform at this point. It does this all transparently, installs, you know, Python under Wine and Pastnash toolkit and all those types of stuff. So try to run the super project and hopefully everything should work nice together. And any questions? That's it. I do not have passed the ticket yet. Apologies. Sorry, I just really heard about it like 2 days ago, so we'll see if we can actually get that in. But I think with the Mimikatz in PowerSploit. Because all that functionality is there, it shouldn't be too hard to actually set up those golden tickets, do the patch the ticket. You won't be able to do it directly from your Kali box, but you can essentially kind of pivot that functionality off of a target host.
Do you see business value in
So for us, you know, like if you're doing red teaming and stuff, the question is, you see a lot of business value in doing post-exploitation, or should it be, you know, like more low, medium, vuln scan type things? You know, everything has its place. Like, people need to run vuln scans and get the low-hanging fruit, but all the really bad attackers, they're doing post-exploitation. Red teams and stuff, all those reports you see, that's what they do. You know, like a lot of tests, I'll just get a basic user account. Once I get there, you know, it can be just a few hours of domain admin using things that would not have popped from Nessus. So, yeah, I think that's it. If anyone else has any questions, I'll try to be out there somewhere in the chill out room in a bit.